go to that 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, because that's the sort of the anchor point for what we've been studying about free will and about who's in charge and all that stuff. In verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover, or wake up is what the word is, themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now it's my contention that every time you don't use faith, then you leave anything you do that's not of faith, you leave yourself open for the evil one to take you captive again. And so that's sort of what we're going to study this morning. Everybody here?
Yeah.
You were reading ahead or behind or something?
I was reading hard.
Okay. Do you agree or do you see this mystery here that we're talking about? Or anybody? Not you, but yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
That we may recover themselves or ourselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
See, that is the relationship between us and God, that he allows and gives us repentance.
He what?
He gives us that ability to repent.
Right, but we have to know that we have left faith, so that we have to know then that we are, maybe we don't even know it, but we're captive again of the devil, of the evil one.
Yeah, we're deceived.
That's right. Yeah. So what's that? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Are of sin. All right. Let's. This mystery of how this takes place in us is hard. It's difficult. There's no easy way here, because you don't even realize, or we don't even realize that we are opposing ourselves. And that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because the preaching of the cross reveals areas in our life where we are not living by faith. We have returned to the old nature of cause and effect. The religion of Babylon. You got to see that. Everybody understand that. All right, so now even though the evil one is taking us captive at his will, he's a created being. He can only do what God wants him to do. And what he wants him to do is perfect that mystery of Christ in you by a series of antagonisms, tests. So that the word perfect is teleos. It means fully tested. And that every area of your life, you're no longer subject to going back to the old ways, but in every area of your life, you live by faith alone. But it's not an easy trek, I should say, because there'll be great suffering and great confusion. And great false stands. But this is what's necessary, so that that good and imperfect will of God which is in you, which is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, he is perfected of his holiness in you by this test. That's why we are they that continue with him in his temptation. This is after we've gone through our temptation. Our temptation is supposedly gone at baptism. But it really never works that way in practical matter because of the evil one resurrecting himself again after our burial in baptism. This is what I've taught for 40 years. But it's obvious to all of us that we see how quickly we are taken captive by him at his will the minute we leave faith. We're taken captive by the evil one or mine. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, again, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as God forgives. Forgive us our trespasses. So what?
As we forgive
those who trespass against us. In other words, there's another way, the trick. If there's somebody you haven't forgiven, then God can't forgive you. If there's some area of your life that you regret, you can't be forgiven because you haven't forgiven that area of your life. So all these things, he's coming against us in every possible way. So the bride is perfected. So each cell of the bride, which we are, is perfected by this antagonism, by this mystery of the evil one taking us captive. All right, let's go to, the point of all this is the evil one is a created being too. So he's just doing what God wants him to.
I was thinking, as you were talking about Jesus getting baptized, what first thing that happened? The evil one came and tried to activate him.
And that's what he will do. Again, he was both Son of God and Son of Man. He was buried as Son of... He was buried as Son of Man at his baptism. But what did the evil one do? He tested to try to get him to do what the world would want him to do instead of what God wanted him to do. Now this is really... Well, anyway, and we talked before about Gary knows a lot about this because he was a gymnast. But we all have different things that we do, and we do it automatically because the thing has possessed us. We are no longer trying to get, we're not no longer trying to do X, Y, Z. Like, for the most part, I know the Bible well enough so that it's like it's possessed me. And I know, it's not something that I tried to memorize. It's just, even though that happened, I'm still subject at all times to the evil one to take me captive at his will. The minute I took pride in it, then I would be open to be captive at his will. The minute I leaned on my own arm of understanding, then I'd be giving myself over to the possibility of being taken captive again by the evil one. And this is true in every arena of our life. But it can't be done by just we talked about this before, by declaration. And let's look at that. Let's go to... because what we're doing is unlearning everything so that there is nothing about the old man that remains in us. We unlearn. And that's as hard to do as everything else is. Discipleship is not easy. If it were, there'd be thousands of disciples, millions, hundreds of millions. There's hundreds of millions that put the name of Christ on themselves. But the true disciples are rare as hen's teeth.
If you don't want to be a disciple, are you still living out of faith?
I It's possible, I guess. It says those four places that we, you know, I write unto you little children because your sin is forgiven. You're still in the world, you're still doing world stuff, but your sin is forgiven. That's critical, but that's as far as much discipleship goes. And then they go around and try to reproduce themselves, but all they can reproduce themselves is more little children. You can only reproduce to the point that you have come to in the mystery of God. So then I said, right, and then I write it to you, teenagers, you're in the wilderness and everything is screwed up. And the only thing that holds you is that you once knew God. Bible study doesn't help. Meetings don't help. We've seen this 1,000 times. And then I finally write it to you, young men or young people. Because, why? Because finally, for the most part, overcome the evil one. This. And then finally, I brought unto you fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. Once you see that your life is totally Christ, then you have been with him from the very beginning of beginnings. Because it's Christ who's revealed in you. All right. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, this unlearning is what, and is everything that Paul talked about, and the other, all Peter, Paul, Mark, all of them. You unlearn so that the divine nature, your true identity, is expressed automatically. And that's what it says in verse 4 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
What verse are you in?
Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
Thank you.
Everybody see that? It's back again. Talks about another way we are taken captive by him at his will is you want things to be different than they are, and that's lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, because it's only Christ now that's living in you. You are gone, the old one. And remember, we said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's not new in time, that means new in class or order. You're totally a different person than you were before. You were a different creature than you were before the discipleship. All right, now let's go see it again in Galatians. Chapter 2, I think. Verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now again, you've got to hear this. The word law there is not speaking only to the Torah or the Jewish law. It's a word that means you can't live by the way a thing works anymore. You know, you can't live anymore by, as we once said, I thank thee, where he says, I thank thee, Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, The prudent are those that believe one and one is two.
Yeah, just the word works implies time and space and cause and effect.
The word what?
Works implies cause and effect, time and space.
Works of the law.
Works of the law.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But while if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now what does that mean? If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And this is commonplace, and all of us are tempted by it. We return to, we have a conversion experience, born again, or born from above, as I should say. And then we return again to the old methods. Well, that's, we are building again then the things that we destroyed. So if anything that you're doing is not of faith, and faith doesn't mean that you're doing it because you think it's godly. Faith means abandonment of self.
Is that just returning to your mind and returning to one of those seven high...
Right. You just return to the old man. You build again the things that you destroyed. You make yourself a transgressor then.
The seven mountains you mentioned, are those different idols?
No, they're different. Anyway, I don't want to go there yet. There are the last tribe, the last of the seven, the hardest one there is to be defeated, the Jebusites. And the Jebusite, which was the mountain or the high place on which Jerusalem was built as a type, that high place, they had to first get rid of the Jebusites before they could build the temple. Because the Jebusites represent human hope. And hope, human hope, is the last idol to be destroyed.
Probably the hardest one, too.
That's right. Now, each of those seven high places have a similar overall function in us from the evil one's standpoint and from God's standpoint. But we're not, I don't want to go, we just studied the seventh one, so. All right. In verse 18, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now therein we can say, who loved me and gave himself for me, because God's love isn't towards the flesh to you. God's love is centered in Christ and Christ alone. The church talks about how much God loves the human race. No, he doesn't. Doesn't say that anywhere. Says we're enemies of God. We're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can we be.
So what does it mean when God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son?
He loved God so loved the bride that he gave a son. Same as a man gives a wife to the bride.
So you love the world, not necessarily.
No, the world there is cosmos, not ion.
Okay.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's everything that exists in the world, time and space. If any man love anything, and their love does, it just means give importance to. It's a verb. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is in, maybe in him, but he's deep down in the dungeon of the temple. All right, so where'd we go? Anyway, the point is, we are partakers of this divine nature by faith, and faith alone. We are not partakers of the nature by declaration. That's what the modern church teaches. We're partaker because it says we are. No, we're partakers by the experience, and the only way you are partaker of the divine nature is when you repented of everything else.
So you partake by being, not doing or achieving?
Right, by him only is living in you. And there's nothing that can bring you away from that place. That place which is faith alone. Just as Christ, he did nothing of or from himself. He had the power. He had more power than we can ever conceive of, because all things were created by him and for him, and by all things consist. By him all things consist. And yet, it says if we give importance to any of that, then we've missed the mystery. All right. The human race has been deceived into thinking we are self-operating. That's where the belief in free will came. Because if you teach that you are self-operating, you'll never understand. Then there's a third person. But from God's standpoint, you've always been of the evil one. That's why it's, you've always been, because that's your nature. That's because of the fall. You don't get into the kingdom of God by declaring it. You get into the kingdom of God by repentance from everything else. Well, let's go to Revelation 12. We did this before, but I want you to see Revelation 12 again. Verse 7. Well, the first six verses are about the constellation Virgo, about the virgin, the giving birth. And then verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now they're into the earth. That doesn't mean, it means into us. They were cast into the earthen vessels. Now this happened jillions of years ago. But it's because it happened because of the fall. And because of the fall, then human nature was changed forever. Before the fall, before they ate of the tree of knowledge, they were innocent. And that innocence was to be transformed into holiness by antagonism. Now we've got a new nature in us, and that innocence of that new nature, that's why it says, except you become, be born, be converted and become as this little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. And becoming as that little child is innocence, the abandonment of self.
I never liked the word antagonism, like
tested. It has to be tested in every single possible area of your life. And for a while, he lets you get by with it. But pretty soon, the Holy Spirit is going to cause your worst fears to come upon you if you're not living by faith. That's what Isaiah 66 says, or 65, one of those.
I find with me the greatest manifestation of me rebelling or resurrecting myself is that I analyze. I'm like a compulsive analyzer. And that's not a faith. True?
Well, if it's analysis with integrity, then that's what you have to do to see the emptiness and futility of human life. You can't repent until you see that there is no worth. There's nothing worthwhile in time and space.
Well, I do know a huge chunk of my analyzing over my lifetime has been a total waste of effort and time.
Well, it's not a waste of effort because it leads you to repentance, I hope.
Yeah, therefore, you mentioned something under his breath. Come, let us reason together, though your sin be scarlet.
Right. The reason together, you know, is the, you have to, that's the failsafe with regard to the kingdom of God, is that flesh and blood can't inherit it. And the whole of this mystery is that you are reasoning together, if you will, you and God, you and the Bible, you and the body, you reason together to see the emptiness and futility of all human effort, and to see that your own personal sin is as bad as Hitler's. Now, when your mind gives you any self-righteousness and you judge somebody else down, that's how you open the door for the evil one to take you captive again. Well, you know that Satan's name is Lucifer, right? And Lucifer is a word that means light bearer. And that was supposed to be his job. But instead, he rebelled. And in that rebellion, it had to happen that way, but it didn't have to, it didn't have to happen with him. But from the beginning of time, the necessity for what God created time and space for is the bride. And that had to be created so that you had to be created so that it was possible for you to be a partaker of the heavenly nature. Now, Lucifer was he was below, not far below Christ in importance before his war in heaven. And so there's a great mystery there about why the light bearer ended up being darkness. But we don't have time to talk about that now.
Is Lucifer a fallen angel?
What are you doing?
I was thinking of the scripture, even the light that is in you is darkness.
Right.
Confuse that light, thinking it's light when it's actually darkness, and we're deceived.
Right.
But it's about me.
Yeah, let's look at that real quick. That's a good one. Go to Matthew 6.
All right. I'm darkness, and yet I think I'm producing light.
Matthew chapter 6. Thank you. The light, verse 22, I'm sorry. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, and the word there evil is porneos, and it just means that you see that you have something to do, some labor, something that has to be done. Now, because, and again, you haven't totally entered the rest as God did from His, and so in your mind you continually have things to do instead of faith alone. But it says if you think you have something to do, if you have a labor to do, then that whole, then if I be evil, or evil errors, again, that need something to redo, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you, in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness? And again, another, then it gives the same look. The next one, God, no man can serve two masters, for either who will hate the one and love the other, or else who will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, mammon is a word that means anything you have that you rely on besides God, i.e. your ability to do something.
Anything that what?
Anything that you rely on. That's why we're about forgetting, because that's all we learned from the beginning of our awareness of self, is we learned and we thought we were doing great. But everything we learned was an enemy of God. But it was necessary for you to learn all that so you could see that it produces only emptiness. Again, so it was evil, but God had to use, you had the evil one, God used the evil one to bring you to the fullness of faith, and faith alone. Again, then the next verse is the same, saying the same thing in a different way. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, etc., etc. And this is getting down to the short hairs. But again, and each time you take thought for your life, then you opened the door and invited him in, the evil one, to take you captive again at his will. Because you're thinking or doing something that was not of faith. You haven't brought every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. You haven't cast down these high places. Because the evil one is sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. He shows himself because he judges for himself good and evil. Amen?
I saw something in that light this morning while we're walking back. How we each one are filling up the afflictions lacking in the body of Christ. So if we look at each other and judge one another for that particular place of affliction, then we're not seeing as God sees. Those afflictions are necessary. And if we see that way, then these afflictions people are going through, we can truly pray for the person as opposed to judge them for their stupidity and their ignorance and their...
Yeah, I've gotten several emails lately telling me that the reason I'm in so much pain is because of the sin in my life.
Amen.
All right, take it, big guy.